Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, and welcome to this week's edition of the Franchise Focus. Got a very, very exciting show for you guys today. As our loyal listeners know, I am co-host Graham Chapman. Rick Vizio, my co-host, will be joining us, as well as Jen Beal, the founder and CEO of the Time Squad, a franchise completely devoted to baby gear services. So they'll meet you at Babies R Us. You can go to their location. They'll come to you to pick up your strollers, all of your other baby equipment, and bring it back to you fresh as new. So a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. As you guys know, this is one of many episodes dedicated to the Next Gen initiative within franchising. Franchising's key initiative to connect with millennials and create a bridge between the franchising business model and the great opportunities it affords aspiring entrepreneurs and the young and upcoming bright generation of millennials that sort of holds the keys to the future for that type of business model and our country and the world as a whole. So before we get started, of course, if you guys have any questions for Jen on the show, for us, Rick, or myself, please feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at EducatedZ. That's Educated Z-E-E. Of course, you can learn more about Rick, his Amazon best-selling book, The Educated Franchisee, and all the services he has to offer as a leading national franchise coach at educatedfranchisee.com and afranchisecoach.com. And, of course, please be sure to check out Rick's most recent entrepreneur article posted yesterday on entrepreneur.com that will give you the five key franchise ownership trends in 2015. So if you are looking into franchises such as the Time Squad opportunity that Jen will be talking about today, please be sure to check out that article so you know what's going on in franchising this year and can make a smart choice. So without further ado, Rick, I know you're on the line with me. How are you today, sir?
Doing great, thanks. Thank you.
Awesome. And we have Jen on the line with us as well. Jen, thank you for joining us on the Franchise Focus. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be a part of it.
No, we are thrilled to have you. We've had a wonderful time with a number of sort of your contemporaries, other folks just like yourself, who have these fascinating emerging franchise brands. We're part of the Next Gen Summit at the IFA show. Jen Cashel has been with us for most of these episodes. Unfortunately, she can't join us today to give her a fascinating spin on the topic, but we are thrilled to have you. So tell us a lot more about Time Squad. I know I gave a very average description of your brand, so please give me the passionate version from the person who's behind us.
No, A for effort, Graham. So my company is called Tot Squad, and I guess to put it in a nutshell, my vision is really to build the geek squad of the baby industry. And we do that by partnering with baby stores. It's a mobile service, so we have branded vans that can go to the baby stores and also to people's homes or preschools or daycares or place of work. And then we provide 30 to 60-minute cleaning services where we steam clean dirty strollers and car seats. We are all trained car seat safety technicians, so we can take the car seats out and correctly reinstall them. And then we also have partnerships with a lot of national stroller and car seat brands where we can do repairs and adjustments if, you know, anything breaks on your Bugaboo stroller. That was a big investment, and you definitely want to get it fixed up.
Yeah. How the heck did you come up with this idea?
Well, I have no babies, so it's definitely random. I'm 32. I just got engaged, so maybe soon. But I've been working on this
Congratulations.
For about 5 years. Thank you. But I think that there's a lot of busy parents out there, and millennials in particular are really interested in having a good work-life balance. And so I kind of set out while I was getting my MBA at Northwestern at Kellogg to look at business opportunities that would help save busy moms time and frustration. And this idea that car seats are really dirty and hard to clean and hard to get in and out of the car correctly just kind of stuck out to me as an opportunity. There was nobody else out there offering a service like that, and every mom we talked to wanted it. So I went ahead, wrote the business plan, and I always joke that in business school, like a top MBA program, everybody's writing their like sexy, high-tech startup idea to be the next Google, and I wanted to clean baby poop. So they all laughed at me, but I went on to win the business plan competition, and that's really what gave me the confidence and the credibility to raise some money, and I moved out to LA from Chicago and started the business. We just turned 4 last week.
Why did you move to LA to do this as opposed to doing it in Chicago?
Well, two reasons. I think number one, this is where my job was. So I was actually sponsored by my former employer. I worked for Fiji Water, and they had contributed towards my tuition. So I had to go back to work and start the business at the same time. I actually think it's a challenge that a lot of millennial entrepreneurs face. We don't have a lot of cash, and it was great because I could work to pay my bills while I was getting the business off the ground. But besides that, I think LA is a great place to start a national brand because we have been able to get so many amazing celebrity clients. Sarah Michelle Gellar tweets about us, she loves our service, and we've got a lot of other great celebrities that, you know, will basically promote us for free. So that makes LA a great place, and beyond that, just the weather is awesome.
Rick's a Florida guy, so he understands the weather component of that.
That's right.
We have a little different humidity here in Florida, though.
That's true. That have the Mediterranean climate that they have out west. So, tell us more about, if I'm a franchisee working with you, Jen, I guess what's my role? Do I go out and cultivate relationships? You help me handle sales? In what ways can I service customers? Because looking at your website, it's more than just me going out and finding a celebrity or finding my neighbor and saying I'll clean their baby stuff. There's other, I guess, avenues through which you cultivate opportunities for your franchisees, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that the number one reason why somebody would want to buy a Tot Squad franchise versus, trying to figure out how to clean strollers on their own is the partnerships that we have. So we work with brands like Bye Bye Baby, which is Bed Bath & Beyond, Big Box Baby Store, if that was enough bees for you. We also work with Babies R Us, Nordstrom, Whole Foods, Westfield Malls. We've got partnerships with a lot of big brands that kind of makes it a lot easier for a franchisee to borrow that brand credibility when they're opening in a new market and kind of have a built-in event base where Babies R Us is promoting our services to their customers. They're putting up signs in their store, stuffing the registry gift bags with our flyers. Because from the retailer perspective, competition is heating up versus Amazon and online retail. And the stores are really desperate to get people to make the trip and shop inside the store. And not only do we help them drive that foot traffic, but Tot Squad then creates a captive audience. Because as long as we have that car seat for 30 to 60 minutes while we're cleaning it, mom and baby are kind of stuck in the store, and it's a great opportunity. We've gotten some really stellar results from exit surveys where we've got data to show these retailers the difference that our customers make by shopping in their stores on the day of our events.
How many locations do you currently have? How many franchisees?
Well, funny enough, we entered the Next Gen franchising competition in December, and launched our franchise sales in mid-February, so less than a month and a half ago. And it's been so great. We were announced as one of the grand prize winners, and because of that have just gotten so much amazing press and publicity, including the CNBC article that came out last Friday with a total clickbait headline, but it said, "Guess what the hottest franchise concept is now," or something like that. So everybody's clicking, and it's all about the Tot Squad being a grand prize winner of the Next Gen competition. And we have just literally been completely overwhelmed by the number of franchise inquiries. So we have several hundred right now that we're trying to get through, and hopefully we're going to sell a couple in the next month or two.
Gosh. So the locations you currently have, the LA, San Diego, and New York, are these all company-owned?
Those are all company-owned locations right now.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So if you are in Wichita and you buy a baby seat and it's or one of these bugaboo things, right, would they ship it to you?
Absolutely. We do accept shipments. We have people from Boston shipping to our New York office and people from Arizona shipping to our LA office. So until we do have kind of the national network up and running through the franchise system, we do accept shipments.
Interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'd love for you to talk all day about the impact PR has had on your franchise. So that's beautiful. So tell me more, you know, about what would be a good fit for you guys as a franchise. I know you went through the next-gen competition. That's awesome. And, you know, you're getting these franchise sales leads in, and you've had these years of working at your company locations to refine the model and determine how this would operate most effectively. Do you guys have a target audience or a target idea as far as who your ideal franchise candidate is? What does that person look like?
Yeah, you know, I think right now, since we haven't sold any, we have a hypothesis, but I'm not really married to it because I really want to see kind of what works best. Our hypothesis was that a mom with kids age 5 to 7, who maybe is now experiencing a lot of extra time since her kids have started school, but has been, you know, living and breathing the baby industry and baby world in her local community for the last 5 years, would be a great fit because she'll know all of those local community partners. In addition to the national brands that we're bringing, she can go work with the local baby boutiques and other stores and preschools, et cetera. So we would like that person to have a sales and marketing background, in the sense that we're going to bring some national brands to the table, but that probably won't fill 30 days of the month for your van. And so this franchisee needs to be able to go out and, you know, make friends with baby boutique owners and sell in our event schedule to be able to use their space on site and also have the retailer become a marketing engine for the business. So I think somebody with a sales and marketing background is a great fit. Obviously, operationally, they're going to have to be able to manage their team, hiring cleaning technicians, training repair people, and running the business day-to-day. But I think that the business owners we're looking for in the Top Squad brand are people with great personalities that can build those community relationships.
Got it.
What's your item 7?
What's that, Rick?
What's your item 7 say?
What does my item 7 say? I'm like, you have to remind me which one's item 7 because I think I blocked out all FDD work after January when we finished it. I was like, oh, pain.
Oh, no, it's important. Item 7 is your total initial investment.
Our total initial investment is, it ranges. The minimum is $53,000. And then if the franchisee decides that they want to open a retail location where they actually have their own office space, there's a bit more expense involved with that, and it goes up to about $150,000.
Sure. Yeah, that would make sense. How did you hear about NextGen originally?
I'm not sure. I was really lucky that I hired a franchise consultant here in Southern California named Marianne O'Connell before, you know, I started franchising. So she helped me kind of figure out what I needed to do to get my business ready to franchise, and she recommended that I attend the IFA convention. So I attended a year ago before we were franchising and just, you know, learned so much and made so many amazing contacts from, like, the roundtable discussions to be able to hear from industry leaders and everything. I felt like I was a step ahead in getting my business to the next level. And so I think I was just following IFA on social media, and that's where I found out about the NextGen competition.
Sounds like it was a pretty big, kind of had an important impact on your business, it sounds like.
Absolutely. You know, I think considering this was the first year and they put it all together pretty quickly, it was a huge success and truly really amazing to be able to attend the IFA convention in Las Vegas and meet these other winners from all over the world. You know, it was crazy to me. We have people coming from Africa and Asia and Australia who also want to start franchise businesses.
Is there a continuing relationship that you have with those other individuals? Do you guys have group calls or continue to support each other in any way?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook group, which is kind of where most of the action is happening. And I'm really lucky because I was able to meet someone through the NextGen Roundtable who actually is really involved in taking NextGen to the next level and continuing on the legacy for next year, and he actually asked me to join the board of NextGen. So I'm really excited to be able to get more involved with it next year and help take it to the next level and really give back, because I just think that it was so great for me.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yes, it is. What I'm interested in, obviously the next gen stuff is great. I can't wait to become more involved myself next year. I was a part of those roundtables for that summit this year, and it was fantastic. But what I want to know about your brand, you keep talking about these events and referencing these events you have in local markets with these retailers and these boutique shops. Tell me what happens there. So, you know, paint the picture for me. Take me through the magic that happens when you host these events within local communities.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe I'll use a preschool as an example. Preschool events are very successful for us, and it's something that a local franchisee should be able to do relatively easily. And if you, I don't know if you guys are parents, but if you remember back to when your kids were in preschool, there's a lot of fundraisers and silent auctions, and I think parents often feel kind of guilted into having to contribute to those sort of activities. And so we come in as a preschool fundraiser that people actually want to participate in. So the franchisee would make contact with either the PTA, the PTA or the preschool director. Our van would arrive at, say, 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning before parents arrive to drop off their kids. And when you drop off Susie and Johnny, guess what? You don't need their car seats or their strollers because they're at school for the next couple of hours. So you drop off all their gear at the same time. Our van pops up, you know, a 10-foot by 10-foot pop-up branded tent and a branded tablecloth, and we plug in our steamers and vacuums, and we get to work. You know, for the next 3 to 4 hours, we clean all the items. Maybe there's 20, maybe there's 50. It depends on how big the preschool is. But we know in advance how many parents plan to participate, so we've got the right amount of staff at that event. We clean up all the gear, and then depending on if it's a half day or a full day program, our staff is there at pickup time to help the parents put the car seats back in correctly, clean, fresh, ready to go, and 10% of the proceeds from that day would go back to the school, which I think really helps increase participation from the parents. So it's an event like that where, you know, you don't have any idle labor. Your staffing is matched exactly to the amount of appointments that you have. You're giving back to the community, and the parents are thrilled because they just completely multitasked and they took something off their plate that they don't like to do and got it done at a time when it wasn't inconvenient at all.
Got it. Well, I'm sure there's one question in particular you must receive often, particularly since you are cleaning items that touch a little child all day long, which is, what are your cleaning products like? What is this cleaning technology? What goes into it? I assume everything is 110% environmentally friendly. There's no chemicals involved. What's in that cleaning process?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Jessica Alba, the actress, but she launched a brand of cleaning products called The Honest Company probably about 4 years ago. And they actually are our sponsor. So they provide all of the cleaning products for us. It's all non-toxic, eco-friendly, completely baby-safe. They're really specialized and focused on, you know, serving moms who are concerned about keeping their kids away from toxic chemicals. So everything is super gentle, but strong enough to get the stains out for the most part. And when it's not, that's why we have the steam cleaners. You know, 220 degrees of steam can kind of loosen any Cheerios and raisins that are stuck in all of the nooks and crannies. But we've obviously put together a great training program because they are safety devices, and we want to make sure that our franchisees and their employees are able to correctly utilize all of the baby equipment that they're going to be cleaning.
Got it. Well, when you're already name-dropping Buffy the Vampire Slayer and people like Jessica Alba, you certainly got something good going on there. From an endorsement perspective.
I'm just not sure if Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the great endorsement of the Top Squad.
Well, who is then?
I don't know.
When Sarah Michelle Gellar is taking a break from slaying vampires, she becomes
maybe something more warm and cuddly. I don't know. Just a thought.
Perhaps. We have a superhero branding
there
kind of
go.
Going. with our company, so it's fun. We say we're coming to the rescue of busy parents.
Makes sense. So Rick is certainly someone who's worked with a number of brands that are like yours in the sense that they are owner-operator focused. They would technically be considered an unsexy brand, something that's related to cleaning or is not a quick service restaurant that most people deem to be a franchise, and when they start looking for a franchise, that's what they're thinking about. So what I'm interested in knowing, Jen, is, you know, when you've begun talking to these prospective franchise owners, I guess, what are some of the roadblocks or some of the things you've had to fight through or convince them of or talk through with prospective owners? Are they not sure it has the profit margin they'd be looking for? Do they think it's too expensive for a home-owned business? What are some of the roadblocks you faced or some of the things you've had to address?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I would say is that my senior director of operations, her name is Carrie, has been handling most of the incoming leads, and that was based on some tidbits of advice we got from IFA that that a prospective franchisee should have to earn the right to talk to the CEO, and that's
sure.
really hard for me. Because I want to get on the phone with everybody. I'm so excited about my brand, and I want to be able to share that. But I totally get it that there's a lot of people who might not have the financial qualifications and might not be a good fit, and it's not the best use of my time. So Carrie has been doing the initial screening, so there's actually only a few that have filtered up to me so far. So I haven't had a lot of those conversations, but I can certainly share. One thing is that some people are already working in a related industry, and we actually have plans to expand our service offerings. So kind of once we have our national footprint, in addition to cleaning, we really would like to get into baby proofing. We've already got the fleet of vans. Our brand is perfect for it, you know, Tot Squad baby proofing. You could buy your equipment from the Babies R Us we're working with, and then we will take the van, come to your home, and install it for you. And so I think, you know, that's the challenge. We've got a great prospective franchisee who owns a very successful baby proofing business, but then there's the big question of will they become our competition and or will they be willing to change their branding to match ours, given that they're just a local brand and we're a national brand. And so I think there's challenges like that where you've got somebody who feels like a great fit, but there's big strategic issues that you have to kind of work out.
There's no question. Rick, as an emerging brand like hers who's starting to sell these franchises, seeing those things, do you have any advice for her potentially as a leading franchise coach?
I guess my number one piece of advice would be to be absolutely 110% sure that your first 5 to 10 franchisees that you bring into your system are exceptionally successful.
Mm-hmm.
And if it means saying no to people, say no to people. You know, you need to have people who are not just excited, but people who are also financially successful. And if your first group of franchisees are excited but don't reach financial success, then you will, as a franchise system, falter over time. And so, you know, work closely with your development person to make sure that the people you're bringing in are properly funded, that they have the right amount of, you know, the right skill sets to actually run the business successfully, as well as the excitement to work with baby poop.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited about baby poop.
But I
think, you know, I've heard that advice before, that the first few franchises will sell the next 100, and that if we don't focus on their success, that we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. And that's why we're kind of taking our time to go through all these leads. You know, we might have a dozen people who've already inquired from Houston, and we kind of want to talk to all of them before we decide who's going to get the franchise, because it's important to us that they're a cultural fit. And that's another comment I could make about what I've been learning through this franchise sales process, is that I think a lot of prospective franchisees don't realize that it is a two-way conversation and that we are evaluating them the same way that they're evaluating us. So there's been a lot of people who are rude or don't respect our time or you know what I mean? It's just very clear that, wow, this isn't a person I'm going to want to work with on a long-term basis. And that's kind of a deal breaker for us. We are really committed to kind of building a family of franchisees and having a support community and a group of people that fit our fun-loving and very caring culture. We care a lot about our customers. It's a service business. And so if you know, it's just like when you interview somebody to take them to lunch and see how they treat the waiter. We're kind of having that same experience with going through the franchise sales process.
Yeah, and you also got to really, I think before you start bringing people in, you say you're running, you know, three company locations. So you know what it takes to be successful. And if you really sat down and said to, you know, what would, if we were going to hire a manager to run a location, what are the absolute core competencies that would be necessary for them to open up a location? And then use that screening against anybody you look at, because there's lots of people with different core competencies. And if they have the correct skill sets, they are more likely to be successful. And you know, the more successful they are, generally, the happier they are. And we have seen franchise systems who basically don't follow this advice. What they do is they try to sell as fast as they can. They figure if they sell faster than they close, then it looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the numbers, you know, the total number of franchisees keeps increasing. But there is a point in time, it's kind of like a Ponzi scheme, there's a point in time where that, you know, house of cards starts to fall down, and you just can't sell faster than they close. And so go slow. Make sure they have the right skill sets. Make sure they match your culture. And, you know, it takes longer, but if you do it right, it creates sustainability. In all of your time, you know, at the various IFAs, have you had a chance to run into Rosemary Hartnett by chance, or Mary Rogers?
I have met Rosemary, yes.
She's wonderful. You know, she owned, she was one of the founders of Computer Tots.
Mm-hmm.
Back, you know, back in that day, and now, of course, they own her and Rose and Mary Rogers own the Abracadoodle franchise. So, she has a vast amount of experience doing exactly what you're doing at a similar age. So, I'd make her into a really good friend.
That's awesome! Great advice.
Very good. So, Jen, we're sort of getting towards the end. Unfortunately, we've loved having you. So, tell us, you know, if I'm a prospective franchise owner or a busy mom out there who wants to learn more about how to use your services, send my baby stuff your way, or become a franchise owner, how do I learn more?
You can visit our website at thetotsquad.com. Certainly if you have dirty baby gear, you can send it to us at one of our corporate-owned locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, or New York City, and hopefully at least 10 to 15 more cities by the end of this year.
Excellent.
We certainly hope so. We're rooting for you.
Awesome.
Any last message or any parting statement you want to make about your company or to reach out to our audience of aspiring entrepreneurs?
Well, I guess I'm not totally sure if your audience is already franchise owners or aspiring franchise owners, but I think we have a great brand. We're the first mover. We don't really have any competition that is meaningful, and I think, you know, that always makes a great opportunity to be part of a fun and exciting and emerging brand that has the support and backing of major brands like The Honest Company and Whole Foods, for example.
Yeah. Got it. Well, thank you. Thank you again for joining us. We had a wonderful time. As I said, this is one of many shows we have devoted to the Next Gen Initiative within franchising. Next time we're back on in early April, we'll be wrapping up this series by having Sean Kelly, the CEO and founder of Human, which is a healthy vending franchise company, another very interesting concept to build on to the Iron Tribe Fitness concept. And Jen today with Tot Squad. So some very cool, interesting, engaged, and emerging brands here that we're bringing on to talk about and share the power the Next Gen Initiative has had. But, yeah, again, please be sure to check out Rick's most recent entrepreneur article talking about the five trends to keep track of in 2015. Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at EducatedZ, EducatedZEE, and certainly stop by Rick's websites to pick up a copy of his book and use all the online resources that he's presented to everyone there at educatedfranchisee.com and afranchisecoach.com. But this is Graham Chapman again from The Franchise Focus. Had a wonderful time with Rick and Jen today, and we had a wonderful time. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Please come back and see us here on The Franchise Focus back in early April. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.